Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more. Good evening, men. Hey, how's everyone doing tonight? Just want to welcome you all here to Thursday night, and to those of you viewing online, we appreciate you logging in and joining us virtually, though we'd love to see you here. It's good to see all you guys. Got some prayer requests here from you folks, and we're going to bring them up to the Lord right now. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your presence here tonight, Lord, and we just thank you, Lord, that we can bringing these petitions to you, Father, knowing that you hear them, Lord. We don't speak in vain, Father God, but our Heavenly Father who loves us is with us right now, and we just love that. We just love to be in your presence, Father. And we just pray for these things that you put upon our hearts. And for Brother Tom, the evangelism team is going to be at Western High School in Anaheim tomorrow, and we're just praying for a harvest there, Father God. I know these men and women who go out to these schools, and they just stand there and try to share the gospel to whoever would listen, Father, and it might not be the most popular thing right now, but that's not our concern, Father. There is kids that need to hear about you, Lord, and we pray for these people who stand there week after week at these schools, even facing ridicule from the administration sometimes, and but these kids do need to hear about you. They got a lot going on in their lives and navigating through this crazy world, Father. So we just pray for the hearts of those students at Western High School. We pray for the evangelism teams, Father. We just pray for boldness, Lord. We pray for open hearts and open ears, Father. We pray against any distractions that would detract, Lord, from this ministry, Father God. We just pray that the kids who are open, Lord, would be drawn to whoever's standing out there, Father, that they wouldn't be going the other direction, Father, that they would be willing to hear what these men have to say, Father. And we just pray that your will be done, Lord. Our brother Bob has requests for his sisters-in-law, both Ellen and Judy. We thank that Ellen's out of the hospital, Lord. And Judy's going through cancer treatment, Father. We just pray for both these women, but most importantly, Lord, they would just turn their hearts back to you, Father. And I know that's the cry of Rocky's heart, Lord, is for her sisters to just turn their hearts back to you, Lord. So we just pray for these women, Lord, as they go through their struggles physically, Father, that they would seek you, Lord, that they'd seek you for their healing, Father, that they would seek you for their just a transformed hearts, Father, healing for the whatever's going on in their minds and in their hearts also, Father. Lift up our brother Ted Horvath, has surgery tomorrow. We just pray that that goes well, Father. We just pray for complete and quick healing, Lord. We pray for his wife, Linda, Lord. They just comfort her as Ted goes through the surgery, Father. We just pray for the doctors, Lord, and just help them to take care of this problem, Lord. We pray your hand be upon them. And we pray for a quick recovery. Sister Hannah would like continued prayer for her son John, who needs a job, Father, a permanent job. And so we just pray you'd intervene in there, Father. We just pray that John would just seek you and just trust in you, Lord, to lead him to the right job, Father, the place that you would have him. And for her son Peter, who's struggling in many ways, physically and emotionally, Father God, we just pray for complete healing for him, Father. We just pray that that he would just seek you, Lord, that he would seek you, that you would give him a clear mind, Father. The things he's done in his life have caused him not to think clearly, Father, but you can sort that out, that your Holy Spirit can penetrate the physical problems, Father, that prevent us from thinking clearly and seeing you in the lives of those who love us and those around us, Father. So we just lift up Hannah and her boys to you, Father God. Our brother Daniel would like healing for his wife, Lord, for Joni, Father. We just, oh no, it's the other Daniel. Sorry about that. and for this lung inflammation. And for Daniel's wife, Father, we just pray for complete healing for her, Father. We just pray for whatever treatment that she's undergoing, Lord, that you would guide those doctors, Father. And we just pray that your hand be upon her, Lord, and that her and Daniel would just know your hand is upon her, Lord, as you touch her and heal her body. Our brother Howard asked for prayer for his sister-in-law, Gloria, for severe neck pain, Father. And whatever is causing that, Lord, I don't know if she's sought treatment yet, Lord, but we just pray for Gloria, Father. We just pray that she would just seek you for healing, Father. I don't know if she knows you, Father, but we just pray that she would call upon you, Lord, more importantly than anything else, Father. And we pray for Howard and his wife as they lift up Gloria and share with her, Father, of your healing powers and your love for her, Father God. So I pray that she would just feel your presence as we speak tonight, Father. And for the brother Daniel Rubletto, and as always, Lord, he has the unborn on his heart, Lord. It grieves him that the way we treat our unborn like trash often. And Father God, we know that grieves you, Father. And we just pray that it's on all our hearts, that we'd all grieve, and our hearts would break for the things that break yours, Father God. And one of them is the state of abortion in this world, really. So we just pray for that, Lord. We just pray that, you know, more than overturning a law, we pray for overturning hearts, Father God. We can't undo what's been done in the past, Father God, but we just pray that your hearts would, you would turn the hearts of man towards you, Father God, and that our eyes would be open. And will we see that the effect that this has on our civilization by not respecting life, all life, Father. We pray your Holy Spirit would change our hearts, Father God, and you would bring revival. And Father, we just thank you for all these requests that have been lifted up here tonight, Lord. And we just pray you'd have your way in this evening. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you guys for bringing those prayers up. Yeah. Anyway, tonight, as a little bit of review from Philippians, we're going to start out with Brother Marty, who's prepared a book chart, and he's given you all a copy. And you guys suggest you should hold on to them. I kind of like these things. And they're pretty cool. It's a nice little quick reference. So he's going to go through it for Philippians, and we're going to hear from some of you folks.
Okay, book charts. I'll tell you, I love these things because what they do is they force me to take a whole book, whether it's something big like Isaiah or something small like Philemon, and it puts it all on one page. So if you go, man, what was that book about? We go, ah, yeah, Book of Philippians. It was the epistle of joy, right? So the thing is, are you feeling joyful after this? Yeah, feeling joyful. Well, if you remember our joy is rooted, though, in the Lord. It isn't based upon our circumstances or where we're at, but our joy is truly found in the Lord. And you'll notice down here under keywords, it says Paul actually used the word mind, like-minded, of the same mind, in regards to that. In other words, we need to have this mindset about our joy, that it's all about the Lord. In fact, a psalm, if you remember, we began this study by saying that, oh, you, O Lord, show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. That's truly where we get our joy. It's from the Lord. It's having that mindset that no matter what this world throws at us, like Mike taught, he said, when he taught the one of the last chapters, he said, hey man, our names are written in the Lord's book of life, right? So, man, there's nothing that this world can throw at us that we can't take, right, with him as our power. So you'll notice on the book chart, a couple things, kind of fun things. All these are quotes from your teachers. And I'd recommend as you go through them, as you review them, just to take one and say, you know what, I don't even remember who said this, but he said, when you realize where you're going, you prepare for that destination. And it's so true that when we know, man, where we're going with the Lord eternally, we're to be preparing now for that journey to be with him forevermore. In other words, be joyful. Let's bring others with us. And if you take each of those little sayings and kind of meditate on them, it will truly remind you of what's written there in the book. And you'll notice four chapters broken down in four ways: joy in living for Christ, joy in serving Christ, joy in knowing Christ, and resting in Christ. And then on the bottom, it kind of has scriptural, our responses to that and how they actually fall. You know, our response to serving Christ is be like-minded, be humble, be sensitive, model Jesus' life in knowing that you are saved and embracing others. And truly, that's why I love these. One page, you got to fit it all in. And if you want to make any notes about what the other brothers share tonight, I'd recommend writing it there on the back. But yeah, for me, this was a wonderful book. I'll share my little quickie, and then I'll let you guys share. My one big takeaway from it, I'll tell you, just made me think of my kids. In fact, I was sharing with Ron earlier about I got to kind of spoil one of my grandkids this morning. As Athena was taking her other daughter to the doctor, I got to spoil my little Jackson. And he and I play hard. And I'll tell you, there's nothing like playing with your kids. It just makes you smile, keeps you young. But that's how the Lord wants to have this relationship with us. Man, he wants this relationship of joy. And it's that joy of being in our presence with his kids and knowing that no matter what happens, man, we're spending eternity together. We've got this eternal mindset. In fact, it was Todd who actually said this. He said, all we want to do is to make the king smile. Can you think of that? All we want to do is make the king smile. And, you know, it made me think about my kids and how, man, they try and please grandpa. They try so hard to please their dad. They really do. And yet, sometimes I go, guys, you don't have to work so hard. Just come into the presence of your father, into grandpa's arms, and just, it's easier with grandpas, you know, we get to spoil them and send them home, right? But with our kids, it's like, oh, I'm never good enough. But no, hey, just come into papa's arms. Just be in my presence. Just come and accept the love that's always there for our kids. That's what our Heavenly Father wants. Just wants to hold us in his arms and comfort us when we need comforting, but also wants us to respond in ways that make him smile, to where he can go, yeah, that's my boy. And yet in the same time, when we kind of blow it and we fall, he goes, hey, come here. Let's take this step again together. So anyway, that's a little bit of my takeaway with my kids and my grandkids and making the king smile. So let's kind of all focus on that as we go through our week, kind of thinking of things that can keep our king smile, and in the same way, not doing the things that make him say, come here for comfort. Amen. Amen, brothers.
So the book of Philippians was, I think, the first book that after I got saved, I felt like the Spirit was speaking to me. It wasn't just reading through scriptures, but I had that experience that I probably didn't believe at first, but I got saved in my early 30s, and I brought a lot of baggage and a lot of guilt with me when I got saved, and it was really hard to think about being forgiven. I spoke to Pastor Allen about it many times, and he reminded me that if you don't believe that you're forgiven, you're really calling Christ a liar, because he's promised you in 1 John that he's going to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You can't hide behind it, feeling guilty anymore. I'm going to use the New Living Translation. So my key verse is 3:12-14. I don't mean to say that I already have achieved these things or that I already have reached perfection, but I press on to possess the perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, and this is it. Forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. And so that I didn't feel like I was just picking and choosing scripture and just finding something that was going to speak and it wasn't coherent. Back in Psalm 103, verses 1 through 12, I've got to bring this up a little closer. Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all my sins, heals all my diseases, redeems me from death, crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord gives righteousness and justice to all who are treated unfairly. He revealed his character to Moses and his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry, filled with unfailing love. He will not constantly accuse us, nor remain angry forever. He does not punish us for all our sins. He does not deal harshly with us, as we deserve. For his unfailing love towards those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. Praise God.
Hey, everyone. Thanks, Marty, for putting this together. This is really awesome. And I want to just say thanks to all the brothers who've been teaching up here. You guys are really amazing. And just putting together just a couple minutes to speak here and just the thought of going through that, I can imagine what you guys do just to come up with that. So I really appreciate it. And you guys have been such a blessing to all of us. So the verse that came to me was out of the chapter 4, right? The joy in resting in Christ. Is 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So I don't know about you guys, but there's times where I've been very anxious. And there's times where I went through intense anxiety in my life, right? Work-related and other things, you know, relationships and all those type of things. And I'm also, by nature, a worrier. I worry about everything and everybody and everything going on. And is it going to be right? You know, I worry about, you know, things that I'm not even in control of around here. It's just my nature, right, to worry about things, which, you know, helped me in management, but also almost brought me to a nervous breakdown at one time, right? So a verse like this really gives me peace. And really meditating on this verse gives me a lot of peace, knowing that, you know, we can bring these things to the Lord, right? Petition just simply means bringing our requests to the Lord, our needs, our desires, whatever those things are, is bringing them to the Lord. And the part that really sunk in for me is to do it with thanksgiving, right? When you have thanksgiving in your heart, it's hard to worry. It's hard to be angry or upset. When you're giving thanks to the Lord, when you're feeling thankful for all that he's done in our past and all that he's going to do in our future, it's just an amazing feeling. So that combination of knowing that I can bring all my cares to the Lord. He's bigger than all of us. He could take care of it. And having thanksgiving at the same time really centers me and brings me and gives me that peace. So, you know, we serve a big God, right? A very big God. And so just in closing, you know, in this passage, God simply is saying, you don't have to be anxious. Just bring it to me. God, thank you.
I'm glad we're on the same page, and all of your help and support, your prayers for my mother, I so appreciate it. She's doing 100% better. She's fully recovered. Thanks for your prayers. I think I'm gonna read a little bit of what I wrote For me, my personal history to study the Bible really commenced here at Refuge with a men's Bible study. And to just share a little bit about me, this started in Thanksgiving Day 2020. I was invited to come. It was a beautiful day. I was embroiled in an emotional divorce, but so pleased to hear that my friend Daniel had found his bride-to-be, Jennifer. And I decided I would come here to Refuge, and I have found just that. Refuge, support, and love, and I so appreciate the openness with which I've been welcomed. Thank you. I appreciate that to get to read 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, followed by Romans, Ephesians, and now Philippians. This is my introduction to the Bible. And with that, I've learned so much. With Romans 9:10, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Also in Romans 3:23, and I realize it's not Romans that we're focused on, but it's from my perspective that it helps me to understand how important Philippians is, because it teaches us the how to live, the who, what, when, where, why is important, and how we express ourselves in earnest and patiently. This helps me to ground myself. It's kept me sane, and again, super appreciative of all of your support. So here he explains, it is written, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but safe. That's Philippians 1. So it's okay that he repeats himself. He's not upset about doing that. Just as we as parents, it doesn't matter how many times we have to tell our kids, hey, don't run across the street. Look both ways first, please. And it's just, the caring family that provides security. At work, we need to share with the new personnel the different office protocols for efficiency and accuracy. It's not that we can't improve and we shouldn't listen to different ideas, because time is money and we need not be penny wise and pound foolish. But Philippians 2-4, we're reminded of how to act, how to instruct, how to live in his image, not through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for your own interests, but for the interests of others. I think that's just so beautiful, that as a family person or as a community, that we look out for others. I'm going to stop here because I don't want to go over the 5-minute rule. But know that in my heart, I am so pleased. Thank you. Amen.
So I had planned to share this evening and prepare something a little bit on Philippians 4. Verses 4 through 8. But my week kind of got away from me. I really didn't put anything together. So I feel a little bit intimidated here tonight being in front of this group. Some of you guys have just amazing knowledge of the Bible. I've been away from this for many years, and I feel like I'm playing catch-up. I mean, Coach Paul there, I feel like you could pastor your own church. And coming in here, I feel a little bit like Billy Madison, like I'm way behind the class, but I'm just trying to catch up. But the thing that struck me about this entire book was just the strength that Paul had. I mean, it was amazing that, you know, everything he went through and how strong his faith was and how he remained so joyful and so thankful about everything. And I was telling Todd recently, that's kind of been at the center of my whole prayer life right now, is just trying to look at everything through a perspective of being grateful and thankful, not looking back on things I don't have, but just being so thankful for my family, for my work, for the food on my table, for all of you guys. This study really means a lot to me. And so that's what I've been trying to do in my life, is just that I think in the song there, it says about bringing something of you know, joy that blesses the Lord's heart. And every day when my prayers, I just pray that, you know, I can do something that's just going to bring joy to God today. And, you know, I really was struck by the whole passage that Mike taught about here too, about whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good rapport, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And that's just, like I say, the center of everything for me right now is just, I'm doing my studies, but it's really all about the prayer, and I really try to focus on that. It's been super helpful. It just really keeps me like in tune with God and with Jesus. And I just every day I just strive to just remember that everybody out there is God's creation, and to just treat everybody with respect. And I pray for God to just put someone in my way every day that I can help. That's it.
Okay, I want to tell you one thing that is personal things. Okay, I like the Bible. Okay, because it's, to me, it's the Word of God. It's just, how can you like it? How can you not like it? But that is not really that important to me. It's what I got from the Bible. It's not just the knowledge of it, but. And a verse like this, you know, 4:7, it says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Jesus Christ." That's what's important to me, is the word of Jesus Christ. It's not because I read it here, but because I see every day in my life, you know, that is a reality that, of course, the Bible, it shows me who Christ is. But I cannot receive Christ if I don't have the Spirit in me that lead me in all things. So that's what I want to share with you guys. The Spirit is with us. And a verse like this, it makes it very clear that God, he says so. God wrote the book and wrote the story of our life too in the same token. So I want to share these things because I didn't want to share in the beginning, but after, you know, the 4, 5, and 6, I said, well, okay, that's I have to share with the guys. Okay, I love you and thank you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for allowing me. I started coming here about a month ago. My life has been like, last 17 years, like pure insanity. I mean, just everything that you can imagine. I don't want to get into too much detail, but it's like only God could have brought me out of the fiery flames and things I've been. I mean, I almost died a couple of times. And OD'd 2-3 times. And anyway, I'm still standing. And this book really helped me a lot, reading it. I think it was you asked me to read it. Anyway, somebody here said, just 1:9, Philippians 1:9, "I pray that your love will keep on growing and that you will fully know and understand how to make the right choices. Then you will still be pure and innocent when Christ returns. And until that day, Jesus Christ will keep you busy doing good deeds that bring glory and praise to God." And I made a note, I must know how to make right choices. Jesus will keep me busy doing good till the day of his return. Yeah. So this is something I had to learn the hard way in life, making right choices. Yeah. And this book talks about it. You know. And another thing that really touched me was 1:28 about being brave in facing your enemies. I've had a bunch of enemies, host of enemies my whole life. And I don't even know how I faced them, but I did. something, you know. And the one about Christ humbling himself, and then, but really, here, this one that personally touched me is 3:7. So Christ has shown me that what I once thought was valuable is worthless. Everything is worthless. Everything, everything I owned, ever owned, everything I work and strive for, and everything, I'll just, sorry, you know, price tag, just, nothing is as wonderful as knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. I have given up everything else and count it all as garbage. All I want is Christ and to know that I belong to him. I could not make myself acceptable to God by obeying the law of Moses. God accepted me simply because of my faith in Christ. All I want is to know Christ and the power that raised him to life. I want to suffer and die as he did so that somehow I also may be raised to life. The greatest thing is just knowing that I belong to him. You know, it's really, that's really changed my heart, you know. Thank you.
Well, guys, I was thinking about it all day today, and it, to me, it wasn't just the book of Philippians. It was the stories that were told. But my, like my brother Todd, to bring up his family in it, or Mike to bring up his girls, you know, Marty bringing up his family. To me, that's how you really learn. Anybody can just read the Bible, but when somebody preaches that part and how it affects his life is how you really get it, because then you can use it. And in my life, every morning's an adventure when I go through stuff. And I like to be able to relate it to my wife or whoever I'm around in a way that I can, about how it affects me. And the guys that did these things in the Bible that went over it and related their stories and how it affected them meant the world to me. That's all I got to say.
Hi, guys. Russ, how are you? You know, as you guys are sharing, I'm thinking of something that the psalmist says. It says, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey, you know. And then he earlier has said, oh, how I love thy law, it is my meditation all thy days. And, you know, listening to you guys sharing is sweet. It is. And anyway, I'd like to share out of Philippians 1, verse 6. It says, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. You know, that's wonderful to know and to have God's promise that what he starts, he will finish. And God, it says that all the promises of God are yea and amen, so that we know with confidence, as long as there's breath, as long as we are walking on these 2 feet, or even, you know, whatever condition we're in and we're breathing, God's going to complete that work in us that he began, and that's his promise. So that, you know, that gives us a wonderful perspective each and every day as we live our lives. But it also has a measure to keep us on track as well, too, to press on for that high calling of Christ Jesus. And, you know, this book of Philippians is a wonderful book. And I came in at the tail end of it, so I missed out on a lot. But just hearing you guys and writing down some notes and seeing what Marty prepared for us, yeah, this is wonderful. So thank you, guys.
You guys touched me so much with all the different verses as he was just talking about. He's always faithful to complete that work in us, and being anxious for nothing, not looking back, pressing on towards that upward prize and high calling of Jesus Christ, and thinking of, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And it's like Robert said, it's everything else is worthless, but we have everything because of Jesus. And about 5-6 years ago, I went through I don't know what you call it, anxiety, depression, just a paralyzing thing. And I know a lot of people have gone through that. And just there to sum up all these things, God gave me this song called Jesus Set Me Free. And just listen to the words, and it's just something that he put on my heart to share with you guys. Pick me up when I have fallen. Hold me close, though I may walk away. Pull me back by your Spirit. Wrap your loving arms around me to stay. You're so faithful, yes, so true. Change my heart, Lord, to be like you. With perfect love, amazing grace. Guide me, Jesus, to win this race. Hallelujah, a joyful sound. Hallelujah, we are heaven bound. Hallelujah, you died for me. Hallelujah, Jesus set me free. Hallelujah, Jesus set me free. Hallelujah, Jesus set me free. Amen.
Well, I changed my mind. I don't really want to follow that. Oh, Mike wants to follow that. Just really quickly from Todd's message last week at the end of Philippians 4, verses 11, 12, not that I speak in regard to need, for I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And this whole idea of contentment, I don't know if it naturally comes with age or whatever, but, you know, I certainly wasn't content when I was younger. And, you know, and it's usually from just chasing the wrong things. It's wanting what you can't get, and that brings discontent. And but in particular, when Paul says, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound, I was thinking, you know, abased means to be, like, put down or brought low or humbled. And no one wants to be brought down. No one wants to be humbled. And that's a big source of our discontent, right? We fight it. We deserve more. I shouldn't be treated that way because I'm good. No, probably not. But that's what goes through the mind, right? And that's what brings discontentment. And then also he says he knows how to abound. And I was thinking, we have so much. Certainly in the developed world, we have way more than we need. But we don't really know how to abound because, we feel we deserve it, and it's really not in abundance anymore. You know, you have all these blessings, and you just say, but I wanted more. And you don't even enjoy the abundance. So when he says, I know how to abound, it's like, yeah, you need to know how to enjoy the blessings that we really don't deserve, but God loves us, and he gives us all this stuff. So Paul's saying, I know how to be abased. I know how to, it's okay if I'm humbled, you know, and my mind is because God's shown me something through that. Who am I? I mean, that was the big step in learning contentment was, it's okay if I'm humbled. I'm not perfect, so why should I not be humbled? I mean, by man, you know, because am I better than other men? Not really. So if I'm in a situation where I've been brought low, well, then so be it. And I learned to be okay with that. And then when God does supply in abundance, that is awesome. And I recognize as an abundance, not as this is what I'm owed. This is a blessing way beyond what I deserve. So anyway, that is kind of what the Lord showed me through Philippians on contentment. And I want to thank all you guys for sharing tonight. It was awesome. We haven't done it this way in quite a while. You know, I just, it's like hearing from you guys. We don't do this very often, but we'll do it again. And I just appreciate all you folks.
Set free my heart. Set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins.